Welcome to Words of Life. I'm reading to you a passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This is an occasion where Jesus has gone to visit in the home of Mary and Martha. Lazarus was the brother of these two sisters. Jesus had an association, a friendship, a kinship with these individuals. And so he has come to their home to visit with them. Martha is engaged in preparing the meal, but Mary has chosen to sit and listen to what Jesus says. Martha becomes concerned and upset about this and desires that the Lord would encourage Mary to come and help her with the preparation of the meal. Jesus uses this occasion to teach us a very valuable lesson. Luke has recorded this circumstance so that you and I might learn a lesson that Jesus seeks to teach us. Jesus tells Martha that she is cumbered and careful, troubled about many things. So many times in this life we become careful and troubled about many things. There are situations in the physical world that cause us to be troubled and to be very careful. It can occupy our time. It can consume us. Sometimes the care of the world can cause us to lose sleep. The care of the world can cause us to have ill health. We need to be concerned about the important things of life and to be less concerned about those minor situations of life. Jesus said Mary had chosen the good part. Mary had chosen to listen to Jesus. There is a time in our life to take care of the physical needs and essentials of this world. But there is also the time when we must sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him speak. There is a time when we must attend to the affairs of our personal life. We must attend to the affairs of our family. We must also take time to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him speak. We need to have a priority in our life. We need to understand that we are spiritual beings living in a physical world. We are spiritual beings that are destined for another world. We often sing a hymn in our worship services, "This world is not our home. We are just a passing through," and so we are. All of us realize that our time here is a short time. All of us understand that our time here is a temporary time. All of us know that we're not going to be here forever. Our years are going to be short, they're going to be brief, they're going to pass quickly, and soon we're going to be gone. And so we need to think on what Jesus has to say in this particular event. Martha wanted Jesus to send Mary to help, but Mary wanted to listen to Jesus. There is a time in life to prepare the meal. But there is a time in life where we must sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him. We need to hear him because he is the Son of God. We need to hear him because he is a teacher that has come from God. We need to hear him because he speaks the words of eternal life. We need to hear Jesus because he is the one who is able to cleanse our sin and forgive our transgressions and restore our relationship with God. We need to hear the words of Jesus because the words of Christ are eternal. The words of Christ are unchanging. The words of Christ are meaningful to the well-being of our soul. But the words of Christ are also well-meaning to our being here. They give us a blueprint as to how to live our life. They provide for us a moral compass. They teach us how to live in a pleasing and acceptable manner before the God of heaven. They inform us as to what is pleasing and acceptable to God. And at the same time, we can understand what is not pleasing and not acceptable to God. And of course, you and I realize that we must do everything that is pleasing and acceptable to God. We must do the will of God. We must do as God has commanded, as God has instructed. And we have been provided by God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit a record, a word from heaven as to our behavior and how to live our life in an acceptable manner before the God of heaven. These words Jesus has spoken, and Mary has chosen to sit at the feet and listen to the word of Jesus. Jesus said, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part." I do not believe that Jesus was undermining the good deed that Martha was providing. I do not believe that Jesus was trying to negate the good deed that Martha was performing. But I do believe that he was trying to impress upon her that some things are more important than other things. And there are some times when we ought to be doing some things rather than doing other things. Jesus said, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part." I want us to examine what Mary did, why Mary was blessed of the Lord, and what she received from the Lord that day. You and I can receive great blessings from listening to the Lord. We can receive great strength, great comfort, great hope in listening to the words of Christ. For his words, as he himself said, are spirit and life, John 6 and verse 63. The words of Christ inform us as to how we can travel safely from this world to the next world. The words of Christ instruct us as to how we can find favor with God and how we can be assured of an eternal home when this life is over. When Christ speaks, we should listen. It is imperative that we listen to Christ because Jesus has the right to speak. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the Liberator. He is the one to whom God has given all authority and all power. Even at this moment, Jesus has been taken into the heavens. He has been seated at the right hand of God. He sits upon the throne of David. He is the King of his kingdom, the head of his church, and he has been given authority from God. His word has been sent to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by men who were inspired of God, who were devoted to God, who were careful that they wrote and taught what God wanted them to write and teach so that you and I can be assured that we have the words of Christ, we have the authority of Christ, we have the message of Christ. And so when Christ speaks, we should listen. In Luke 19 and verse 48, the scripture says concerning Jesus, "Could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him." All the people were very attentive to hear him. What I find to be very sad in our world of today is that there are fewer and fewer people who are attentive to hear him. There are so many individuals, so many souls who are careful and cumbered, troubled about many things, about the things of this world, about the issues of this life, about personal conditions in their life and situations that are affecting their life, and they are not attentive to hear Christ. There are fewer and fewer people who attend services of any religious kind. There are perhaps fewer people that read their Bibles and give any attention at all to the words which Christ speak. When Jesus came, there were people who followed him because they desired to listen to him. They wanted to hear what he had to say, for his word was intriguing, his word was exciting, his word was informing, his word was life-changing, and for that matter, his word is soul-changing. They were attentive to hear him. We must be attentive to hear Christ, and we must make certain that the word that we are hearing is indeed the word that Christ speaks. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, Paul and Silas have traveled into Philippi. They are going from place to place preaching the gospel. The gospel is the message of Christ. It is the word of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The gospel is that word that, according to Paul, when he wrote to the Roman church, is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power that we hear that converts us, that changes us, that alters our life. And Paul and Silas were involved in proclaiming this gospel, and they have gone down to Philippi. And in Acts 16, verse 14, the scripture says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, and worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. They found this woman. She was a worshiper of God. Those who love God worship God. Those who seek to please God will honor God and praise God. We are taught to worship God. We are not to worship idols. We're not to worship our things. We're not to put our houses and our lands and our possessions, even our wives and our children and our husbands and our relatives and our friends, ahead of God. God is to be worshiped by every human heart. Lydia worshiped God, and she heard us. They spoke the word of Christ. They spoke the gospel of Christ. She heard us, and she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. What Lydia desired to do was hear the word of Christ. She took time from whatever activity in which she was engaged at that riverside to hear these men speak. We need to take the time out of our life where we hear the word of Christ. When we are in our homes, we can open our Bibles, read the Word of God, and hear the Word of Christ. When we have the opportunity, we can go to places of worship where we can hear the Word of God. But we must make certain when we go to those places that the Word of God is being spoken, because in many religious places, the Word of God is not spoken. It is the Word of men. We must hear the Word of Christ. Lydia heard the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 4, Jesus has gone through Samaria. He has spoken with a woman, and she has been intrigued by what he had to say. She listened to him very attentively, and she even told others in the city that she had heard the word of Christ. She had been listening to Jesus speak, and she desired them to know that she had been listening to him and hearing him. And after a while, the citizens of that area began to believe for themselves because they heard. When we hear the word of Christ, we will come to believe on Christ. We are to hear His words and believe His words and follow those words so that we might be saved. And they said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They heard him themselves. Every individual today has the opportunity to hear Christ. You can hear Christ in reading the Bible. You can hear Christ in a radio broadcast. You can hear Christ in a television video. You can hear Christ in a place of worship. You can hear Christ. You have the opportunity today to hear Christ. These people heard him, and as a result of hearing him, they came to know and believe that he was the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's why Jesus speaks. That's why his word is proclaimed, so that we might come to know that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, because we need to be saved. We must be saved. We dare not die without being saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by being obedient to his gospel, because what awaits the disobedient is the vengeance of God in the eternal fire of hell. In Acts 10 and verse 33, we have the record of a man who sent for the Apostle Peter to come to his home and speak unto him about Jesus. And he said, immediately I sent to thee. He did not hesitate. He did not wait. He did not delay. He did not procrastinate. He did not put it off to some other time. Many people who are even willing to hear Christ want to do it at some other time, some day later. They put off hearing Jesus. They delay to hear Jesus. I sent to thee immediately, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are here all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Look at that the attitude of this man. We are here present before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. When you hear Christ, you want to hear all of his word. You want to hear every teaching of Christ. We must hear every word that Jesus speaks. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, was the word of Jesus in his encounter with the devil. When Jesus was being tempted, he answered that temptation was that we must desire every word of God. Not some of his words, not most of his words, but every word. And this man Cornelius was present before God to hear all things that God wanted him to know. In Matthew 7, at verses 24 and 25, Jesus has preached this great sermon that is recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is a life-changing sermon. This is a revolutionary word. You read this sermon, it will change your life if you will obey it. If you will listen to what Jesus says in these chapters in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it will change your life. It'll change the way you feel. It'll change the way you work. It'll change the way you sleep. It'll change the way you play. It'll change the way you associate. It will change your life. And Jesus said, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus said, If you will hear these sayings of mine, and if you will do them, then you can build your life upon a solid foundation, where even with the when the storms and the winds of life come, your life will not be shaken. Into every life, winds and storms come. In many lives, we are shaken because of the winds and the storms that come. But Jesus said, you build upon a solid foundation when you hear and do what I have to say. Mary had chosen the good part in that she had seized the opportunity that she had. This was her opportunity to hear Jesus. Jesus was there now. Jesus was speaking to her now. Jesus was talking to her at this very moment. She needed to hear him because he would soon be gone. He would not stay there for a long period of time. He would move to another place. He would speak to other people. Jesus sought to carry his message to as many people as would hear him. And so Mary seized the opportunity. You and I must learn to seize the opportunity, because we both know, you and I, that opportunities pass. They go away. And sometimes they never present themselves again. In Romans 13:11, the scripture says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Paul is speaking in this passage of Scripture about opportunity and using that opportunity. We need to know what time it is. We need to be able to see the opportunity that we have. And we need to seize that opportunity. We must awake out of sleep. We must come out of slumber. Paul says our salvation is nearer than when we believe, because you and I are moving constantly, consistently toward the end of life. Our opportunities to hear Christ and to obey Christ become fewer and fewer with every passing hour. Awake out of sleep. Realize the time. Think about where you are. Think about the condition of your relationship with God. Think about what you need to do. Hear the word of Christ that calls you to salvation, that desires that you be saved from your sin and that you know him as Lord and Christ, and seize that opportunity. In Ephesians 5:14-16, Paul speaks to the church at Ephesus about the importance of opportunity. "Wherefore," he saith, "awake thou that sleepest." He uses language similar to that when he wrote the Romans. Slumber. We simply traveling through life, and we're not paying attention to life. We're not concentrating on life. We're not seeing the priority of life. We're missing what we need to do. We may not be totally ignoring what we need to do, but we're believing that perhaps we have more time, we'll have other opportunities. What we need to do today might be able to be done tomorrow. And so he said, "Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead." You see the urgency in Paul's words of using the opportunity? "And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly." That means with wisdom, with understanding of what is important and what needs to be done and must be done. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Take care of the time. Guard your time. Use it wisely. Use it in the service of the God of heaven. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And then Mary had chosen the good part because she was conscious of life's true values. There are values in life that are more important, more precious than other values. The value of the human soul is more precious than any value. The most valuable possession that you and I have at this moment, in this life, is our soul. Our soul has been given to us by God. We are to strive to save that soul. Because when we die, the soul will leave the body and will either go to God or will forever be separated from God. In 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, Paul said, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." There is the physical, the temporal. We see it. We behold it. We can feel it. Our senses perceive it. We know of its reality. But Paul says the things that are not seen are eternal. The temporal passes. The temporal loses its luster. The physical becomes degraded and unuseful. But the unseen, God, Christ, heaven, the soul is eternal. We can't see that. The only reason that we know that we have a soul, that there is a God, is because of the word of Christ. Jesus has told us. God has informed us and revealed unto us that there are those things that cannot be seen and that they are eternal. And by faith we believe that. We accept that because Jesus has said that. And when you really think about humanity and his place upon the earth, and when you see everything that transpires, and when you are able to read a word that has been here for centuries upon centuries, we surely can understand that there is the unseen. And we're to look at the unseen. We're to be mindful of the unseen. Martha was cooking a meal that could be eaten, that would serve the body. But Mary saw that which could not be seen, the eternal bread of Christ, which would feed her soul and nourish her soul and guarantee her safe passage to the eternal world. In John 6:27, Jesus exhorted his followers, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." In this world we labor for bread, we labor for clothing, we labor for shelter, but we understand that all of it has to be replaced. We must labor again tomorrow. and the day after. Jesus said, labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. And according to Jesus, she had chosen the good part. May you and I, in our earthly journey, choose the good part and desire to hear the word of Christ, follow and obey that word in our daily life. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.